ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 37. Desham Vicharatam Padvyam Tirtanam Pachatam Padvyam
Tesham Virachitam Padvyam
Tesham Virachitam Padvyam
Tesham Virachitam Padvyam
Tesham Vicharatam Padvyam
Tesham Vicharatam Padvyam
Tirtanam Pavanichchaya
Tirtanam Pavanichchaya
Tirtanam Pavanichchaya
Tirtanam Pavanichchaya
Itasya Kim Navro
путешествует по всему миру, чтобы очистить даже от места паломничества. Разве такая деятельность приносит удовлетворение и счастье тем, кто на самом деле боится материального существования?
Purport. There are two kinds of devotees.
Есть два вида преданных.
One is called Gostananandi, and the other Bhajananandi.
Одни называются Гостананди, а другие Бхаджананди.
The word Bhajananandi refers to the devotee who does not move but remains in one place. Such a devotee is always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. He chants the Maha Mantra, is taught by many acharyas, sometimes goes out for preaching work. The ghost Anandi is one who desires to increase the number of devotees all over the world. Travels all over the world just to purify the world and the people residing in it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, Pitivite Ache Yata Nagaradigram Savatra Pracha Haibe Morana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted his followers to move all over the world to preach in every town and village. In the Chaitanya Sampradaya, those who strictly follow the principles of Lord Chaitanya must travel all over the world to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya, which is the same as preaching the words of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. The more devotees, the devotees preach the principles of Krishna Katha, the more people throughout the world will benefit.
Чем больше преданных будут проповедовать принципы Кришна Катхи, тем большее благо получат люди по всему миру.
Devotees like the great sage Narada, who travel all over to preach, are called Gostananandi.
Преданные, такие как великий мудрец Нарада, путешествующий по всему миру с целью проповеди, называются Гостананди.
Narada Muni is always wandering throughout the universe just to create different types of devotees. Narada even made a hunter a devotee. He also made Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad devotees. Actually, all devotees are indebted to the great sage Narada, for he has wandered both in heaven and in hell. A devotee of the Lord is not even afraid of hell. He goes to preach the glories of the Lord everywhere, even in hell, because there is no distinction between heaven and hell, for a devotee.
Преданные проповедуют славу Господа повсюду, даже в аду, потому что для преданного нет разницы между раем и адом.
Narayana Paraksave Nakutaschana Pivyati Svaga Pavaga Narakeshva Pituyarta Darshana. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of going anywhere and everywhere. For him, heaven and hell are one and the same. Such devotees wandering all over the world deliver those who are actually afraid of this material existence. Some people are already disgusted with material existence, being confused and frustrated by material enjoyment. And some people, who are intelligent, are interested in understanding the Supreme Lord. Both may take advantage of the pure devotee who wanders throughout the world.
Оба вида таких людей могут воспользоваться преимуществами общения с чисто преданным, который путешествует по всему миру.
When a pure devotee goes to a place of pilgrimage, he desires to purify that holy place of pilgrimage. Many sinful men bathe in the holy waters of the places of pilgrimage. They take their baths in the waters of the Ganges and Yamuna at places such as Prayag, Vrindavan, and Mathura. In this way, the sinful men are purified, but their sinful actions and reactions remain at the holy places of pilgrimage. When a devotee comes to take his bath at those places of pilgrimage, the sinful reactions left by the sinful men are neutralized by the devotee. Tirti kuvanti tirtani santastena gadabrita. Because a devotee always carries the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, wherever he goes becomes a place of pilgrimage, a holy place for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Поскольку преданный всегда носит в своем сердце указание Верховной Личности Бога, куда бы он ни отправился, это место становится местом паломничества, святым местом, в котором можно понять Верховную Личность Бога.
It is therefore the duty of everyone to associate with a pure devotee and thus attain freedom from material contamination.
Поэтому обязанность каждого общаться с чистым преданным и таким образом освободиться от материальной скверны.
Everyone should take advantage of the wandering devotees whose only business is to deliver conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. Om Agyanatim Anandas Yoganandana Sarakaya Chakshya Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bangam Langaya Te Garit Yakripata Mahamande Shri Guruve Namaha. So we have been reading from this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam. This section describes a meeting between Prachetas and the Supreme Lord. Prachetas were able to come in contact with Lord Shiva. And they received from him his association and a means by which they could actually obtain the association of the Lord. And as a result of that association, the Lord appeared before them and was anxious to grant them a benediction. The Prachetas because they had been purified by the process of devotional service. They were not eager for any kind of material benediction from the Lord. That is the nature of a devotee who's actually realized the greatness of devotional service. That is the nature of a devotee who has actually realized the greatness of devotion and service. The one who has actually understood the greatness of devotional service, he becomes fully satisfied with that service itself. This is as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that for one who has actually found shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, he becomes just like a weary traveler who comes home after a long journey to. After a long journey, when one comes into his home, then he feels, yes, now I'm comfortable. In the same way, when one has actually found shelter in the devotional service to the Lord, then there's no other desire within his heart that needs to be fulfilled. Because he's actually found real shelter in the lotus feet of the Lord. Everyone is looking for some kind of shelter. It's nature for the living being to be sheltered. It's our natural state of existence. Our natural state of existence is actually to be under the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But due to our contact with material nature, we have taken shelter of this temporary material world. And it's described that the nature of the material world is just like a blazing forest fire. When one is caught in a blazing forest fire, he's always very eager to find the means to get out. And just as is also described, when one is in a blazing forest fire, it is very difficult to put out the fire by some material arrangement. One can look for so many buckets of water, hoses. Start a bucket brigade of people carrying water from a lake and start throwing it on the trees one bucket after the next. But actually, the only hope is when there's a big rain cloud. When the big rain cloud comes and inundates the forest with water, the one that is the only means to put out such a blazing fire. And therefore, it is described that the devotees of the Lord, they are just like such rain clouds. Because they are carrying the water which is meant to put out the blazing fire of material existence. Just as the rain cloud does not carry its own water. But it collects the water which has been evaporated from the ocean. And then redistributes that water upon the land. In the same way, the devotees of the Lord are not distributing their own mercy. But the devotees of the Lord, they are carriers of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. They do not say, "This is my mercy." They do not think themselves to be in any way to be such merciful persons.
Они не считают себя такими милостивыми личностями.
But their duty is to carry the mercy.
Но их обязанность заключается в том, чтобы нести в себе милость.
Or just like we were recently reading one verse also from the section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was described that the pure devotees of the Lord, when they vibrate the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their vibration carries the saffron particles of dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. Saffron particles of dust from the lotus feet of, coming from the lotus feet of the Lord.
Вот эти звуки, которые они издают, прославляя Господа, они подобны шафранным частичкам пыли с лотосных стоп Господа.
In other words, the saffron particles of dust from the lotus feet of the Lord are very soothing.
Другими словами, такие шафрановые частички пыли с лотосных стоп Господа, они охлаждают.
And because the devotees of the Lord are carrying a message from the spiritual world.
И поскольку преданные Господа несут послание из духовного мира,
their message picks up these particles and carries it to this world. Their message picks up these particles of saffron from the lotus feet of the Lord.
And brings it.
Because their messages have nothing to do with this blazing fire of material existence, of the material world. They're meant to distribute the message of the spiritual world.
Их послание предназначено для того, чтобы рассказать о духовном мире.
The spiritual world is that world which is transcendental, beyond this material world.
Духовный мир — это мир, который трансцендентен, и он находится за пределами этого материального мира.
And which is eternal.
И он вечен.
And it's that place which is the actual shelter of every eternal living being.
И духовный мир, он на самом деле является прибежищем для каждого живого существа.
As long as the living being tries to find shelter in this material world, he'll always be frustrated in his efforts to find perfect shelter. Abrahma bhuvana aloka punavitina mamujana mamupecha tukantaya puna janmana vijite. As Krishna says, from the highest planet in this universe to the lowest planet, they are all the places of repeated birth and death. Misery with repeated birth and death takes place. But one who attains to Maya Bodhi, he never has to take his birth again. So wherever one wanders throughout this entire universe, whether it's from the highest planet, Brahma Loka, down to the lowest planet, Patala, and these are all places of suffering because they're temporary. Even Lord Brahma himself, the creator of this universe, who resides on Brahma Loka, he also must die. That's why when Hiranyakashipu, who performed great austerities to achieve the benediction from Brahma of immortality, Brahma said to him, I can't give you the benediction of immortality. I have to die too. How can I give you immortality if I have to die? So even Lord Brahma, on the highest planet in the universe, he also has to give up his body. So everywhere in this universe is a place of repeated birth and death. And this within this universe is a place. Tasyaiva hito prayatita kovido na labhate yad brahmatam upariyata. As the Bhagavatam explains, that persons who are actually philosophical and philosophically inclined and intelligent, they should never endeavor for happiness, which is attainable from wandering from the highest planet, Brahma Loka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. Because they know, as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, because they know that as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in due course of time. Just as in due course of time one obtains miseries without asking for them. So an intelligent person doesn't endeavor for these things. He doesn't endeavor for any permanent situation in this world. An intelligent person endeavors to actually obtain shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. And the lotus feet of the Lord are never in this material world. Even when Krishna himself comes to this world, he's never in this world. He's always transcendental to this material world. Therefore, the word lotus is used in reference to the feet of the Lord. Because just as the lotus flower never touches the water, it may appear to touch the water. It may appear to touch the water. But actually it has a thin film on the flower, so that it actually never touches the water. In the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead never comes in contact with this material world. He's always transcendental. And therefore, one who finds shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, he's found shelter at that eternal resting place for all living beings. Of course, we speak about an eternal resting place. Just like we gave the example of a person who comes home after a troubled journey. And the concept that we have in our mind is, yes, after a long trip to the material world, now I want to rest. We think resting place means, yes, place where we can just rest. But actually, when we speak of how the Lord is the eternal resting place for the living being, it means that it's the eternal shelter of the living entity. And what is he sheltered from? Anxiety. Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means without anxiety. So, in other words, why are we suffering so much in the material world? Because we're always in anxiety. And how do we try to relieve our anxiety? We try to relieve our anxiety by some temporary arrangement. Which only ends up producing more anxiety. That's why it's described in the material world like a blazing forest fire. It's described in the seventh canto of the Bhagavad. And in the material world, every materialistic person is endeavoring for happiness and trying to relieve his anxiety.
Там говорится о том, что в материальном мире каждый материалистичный человек он пытается обрести счастье и избавиться от беспокойства.
And therefore he is acting accordingly.
И поэтому он действует соответствующим
образом. Actually, however,
однако на самом деле,
one is happy as long as he doesn't endeavor for happiness.
Человек может быть счастлив только до тех пор, пока он не прилагает усилий для того, чтобы стать счастливым.
As soon as he begins his endeavors for happiness, immediately he creates his conditions for anxiety. That's the nature of the material world. We create an illusory conception of how we're going to find shelter in this world. And actually, as it's described in the Bhagavatam, we create a reality that has no existence beyond our imagination.
И как описывается в Бхагаватам, мы создаем вот эту вот аргументу реальность, которая на самом деле не существует.
We think, yes, this is the solution.
Мы думаем, да, вот это вот решение.
And when we actually obtain the fulfillment of our desires,
и когда на самом деле мы достигаем исполнения своих желаний,
then what happens?
Что происходит?
We look for something else.
Мы начинаем искать чего-то другого.
Then we have to look for another thing, another search for the fulfillment of another desire.
Да, мы начинаем проводить своего рода исследование того, как нам исполнить еще какие-то свои желания.
In this way we go from one desire to the next to the next.
Таким образом мы переключаемся с одного желания на другое.
But never creating the solution to the problems.
Но мы никогда не можем искать решение, найти решение этих проблем.
So to find shelter means to actually this is the real resting place for the living entity. And when one is fully satisfied, then what it means that there's no more anxiety. A person has anxiety because he's still hankering for some desire to be fulfilled. And he's in anxiety. Yes, now I have to get it. How will I get it? What arrangements will I make to obtain it? And then when he gets it, he laments. Hankering and lamentation. But one actually finds shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. The reason why it is the permanent resting place is because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the fulfiller of all desires, he personally satisfies all the desires within the hearts of his devotees. When the Lord satisfies the hearts of his devotees, he doesn't leave anything, he doesn't neglect anything. He takes care of all one's desires. Just like the other day we were giving an example in reference to the prachetas. The prachetas, they offered prayers to the Lord. And the Lord was saying, I want to give you some benediction. But the prachetas were saying, Oh Lord, we're so satisfied simply to be engaged in your service, we don't want any benediction from you. In other words, the devotee is so satisfied that when the Lord wants to offer him some benediction, the devotee is thinking, what benediction could I possibly need? I have your association. I have everything I possibly need. Why should I ask for anything more? But still, the Lord insists that He wants to give a benediction to His devotees. That is the nature of the Lord. We would think that if somebody is fully satisfied, why should we do anything? They're satisfied. I was giving an example. In English, there's an expression. If it's not broken, don't fix it. In other words, if somebody is fully satisfied, why touch it? Leave it alone. You might do something that will cause him dissatisfaction. Let him be satisfied. So the prachetas, they were praying to Krishna. We're fully satisfied. We don't need anything except the opportunity to serve you. And the Lord was saying to them, no, you have to ask for me a benediction. What is it that you want? He was asking, what is it that you want? So the prachetas then, because the Lord insisted that they had to ask for a benediction, the prachetas immediately spoke from what was within their heart. They didn't have to think about what did they want. They immediately said, well, if we have to ask for benediction, we pray that you always give us the association of those devotees who are always discussing your pastimes. Even if we have to stay in this material world after repeated births and different planets and different species of life, this is the benediction we ask for you. Please, always, wherever we may exist, give us the association of your devotees. So that was the desire they had within their heart. So in other words, the Lord wants to satisfy all the desires of his devotees. He's always anxious that whatever is there within his heart, he wants to satisfy it completely. So of course, who can be more successful in satisfying the desires of all living beings than the Supreme Lord himself? We all know that it's very difficult to fully satisfy others. It is not a very easy thing. In fact, in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj actually, he describes in one verse, let's see if I can find it, it's a very nice verse which describes this point. It's within the heart of every living being. And because he's within everyone's heart and he knows everyone's desire, he says it's not very difficult to satisfy him. It's not very difficult to satisfy the Lord, who is the Super Soul. Because he's so close to everyone. But he says it's very difficult to satisfy others. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, is also giving this example. That people work so hard to try to satisfy others, but still they cannot be fully satisfied. He said many times we find that political leaders, they sacrifice their lives practically for the service. They sacrifice their lives for the service of their country. And then the citizens end up assassinating, killing them. In other words, they try so hard to satisfy. But it's very difficult to fully satisfy anyone in this material world. But actually, the Supreme Personality, when one establishes a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Lord, he satisfies all the desires of the living being. And he can satisfy everyone perfectly. Because he's there within everyone's heart and he knows what everyone's desire is. Nobody else can say that they know what all of one's desires are in the heart. But Krishna is the all-pervading Super Soul in the heart of every living being, knows whatever desire is there within our heart. Therefore we say that the Supreme Lord satisfies all the desires of the living being. Similarly, we also say with attachment to the lotus seat of the spiritual master is the perfection that fulfills all desires. And that is actually what this verse is explaining. This verse is explaining that how that the devotees of the Lord who are wandering throughout this world, they are carrying the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of His transcendental instructions, His transcendental pastimes, and His transcendental service. And when one actually comes in contact with devotees of the Lord, because the devotees are the carriers of that mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because they are carrying those tiny particles of saffron from the lotus feet of the Lord, that by coming in contact with the devotee of the Lord, it's as good as coming in contact with the Lord. And when one actually dedicates his life to hearing from the devotees of the Lord, the result of such activity is that one can actually conquer the Lord. This is described also by Lord Brahma in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That persons, whatever position in life they may be, if they throw away the process of mental speculation, and with all respect, they offer all respects to the transcendental narrations and personality of the Lord, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by the Supreme Lord Himself and by the Lord's devotees, they can certainly conquer Krishna, although Krishna is otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. This is a prayer by Lord Brahma. He's offering his prayers to Lord Krishna. He also got the association of the Lord. Whenever devotees get the opportunity to associate with the Lord, they always glorify the Lord with suitable prayers. Because that's the nature of a devotee. He simply wants to glorify the Lord. He has no interest in discussing any topics of this world. He simply wants to glorify Krishna's greatness. So he says to the Lord in this prayer that when devotees, they give up mental speculation and they offer all respects to the personality of the Supreme Lord, and they dedicate their lives to these narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, dedicating their life means what? To dedicate one's life to these narrations means that he's giving his whole life to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So Lord Brahma says that they dedicate their lives to these narrations, they conquer Krishna. Although Krishna can't be conquered by anybody in the three worlds. Many persons have tried to conquer Krishna, but nobody has ever been successful. You study the history in Mahabharata, you can read so many different examples of persons who tried to defy the Supreme Lord and conquer the Lord. Hiranyakashipu tried to conquer Krishna. Hiranyaksha tried to conquer Krishna. Ravana tried to conquer the Supreme Lord. So many personalities. Pandraka tried to conquer the Lord. Nobody was ever successful. The Lord cannot be conquered by anybody this way. But if one dedicates his life to hearing the pastimes of the Lord, one conquers the Lord. Now, what does it mean to conquer the Lord? Does it mean to put on a suit and armor with a sword and go out to battle? No, that's not how one can conquer the Lord. One conquers the Lord by his devotion. Because it's only devotional service which is by which one can actually conquer the Supreme Lord. And what does it mean to conquer the Lord? It means the Lord has become so much inclined to that devotee that he wants to do for that devotee whatever that devotee wants. That's what it means to conquer the Lord. The Lord's conquered by devotion. And the Lord is, therefore, becomes the servant of his devotee. Sometimes the Lord even places himself in a subordinate position to his devotee. Like we were describing last night, when we were describing the childhood pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And how the Lord placed himself in a subordinate role to his devotees. Just as Lord Krishna also places himself in a subordinate role to his devotees. Krishna even subordinates himself to his cowherd boyfriends.
Krishna даже
He subordinates himself even to the greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani. Just like there's this one story of a great poet, his name was Jayadeva Goswami. He was a very great devotee of the Lord. And he was known as a poet, he was a kavi. As a poet. And even Lord Chaitanya himself used to listen to the poems of Jayadeva Goswami with great relish. At one time, Jayadeva Goswami, he was sitting at his home. And he was writing about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he got to a particular section where in his writing. Where he wanted to write where he felt in his heart the desire to write down a verse that describes how Krishna bows down and touches and takes the dust from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani.
Написать такую строку, в которой говорится о том, что Кришна склоняется, Кришмати Радхарани касается пыли с его
лотосов. But then in his heart he began to think. How can I write such a thing?
Как я могу писать такие вещи?
Krishna is the Supreme Lord.
Кришна Верховный Господь.
He's the greatest personality throughout the creation.
Он величайшая личность во всем творении.
How could I possibly write how the Lord is going to bow down and touch the feet of his devotee?
Как я могу писать о том, что Господь склоняется перед своим преданным и берет пыль с его стопы?
He said, this is very audacious of me to write such a thing. So audacious, bold. It's very bold.
Потому что это слишком смело будет с моей стороны написать такие вещи.
So he decided that he better think about this.
Поэтому я лучше подумаю над этим.
So he told his wife that he was going to go take bath at the river. And he said that he was going down to take his bath and he was going to think about the verses that he was writing in this poem. So he left the house. And shortly afterwards, someone entered back into the house.
Yes.
And he came into the house and the wife was preparing and it was Jayadeva Goswami. And the wife is preparing lunch for Jayadeva Goswami. And so Jayadeva Goswami came into the house, he sat down, and he took his lunch from the hands of his wife. And then he went back over to that place where he was sitting and writing. And he wrote one line where he was previously thinking about it before. I can't remember the Sanskrit. Everyone remember the Sanskrit? Tava pada palava mudana. Tava pada palava mudana. Which means that Krishna bows down to the lotus feet of his devotees and takes their dust. And then he left. Very shortly afterwards, Jayadeva Goswami walked back in the house. And he had just come from taking his bath. And he asked his wife, he said, "So you prepared lunch?" And the wife said, "What do you mean about prepared lunch? You just ate lunch. Oh, you had been writing before and then you left." So Jayadeva Goswami was wondering, what is my wife talking about? And he went over to that place and the ink was still wet. And he saw the words, Tava Pada Palava Mudaram. And the same words that were in his heart that he was thinking of writing. And he went back to his wife. She said, "Do you know how fortunate you are? Do you know how I actually came and took food from your hands? It was none other than Krishna himself who came and completed this poem." Krishna came and appeared as Jayadeva Goswami, and he came personally to finish the poem for him. Because he wanted to prove that what he had in his heart was the truth. The Lord wanted to prove that what Jayadeva Goswami had in his heart was the truth. That the Supreme Lord actually bows down and touches the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees. So that is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He wants to satisfy all the desires of his devotees. And nobody can satisfy the desires of the devotees like the Lord. Because he knows exactly what's in the heart. He even knew what was in Jayadeva Goswami's heart. And he personally went there to finish the poem so Jayadeva Goswami would not be disturbed by thinking such thoughts. So such devotees conquer the Lord. And therefore Lord Brahma describes in his prayers that anyone who dedicates his life to these narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can conquer Krishna. Although Krishna is otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. This is the way to please the Lord. This is the way to satisfy the Lord. And this is the way to find shelter in this blazing fire of material existence. There's no other way to find shelter than to find shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. And for those devotees who are in this material world, that shelter is found by always discussing the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And hearing the topics of the Supreme Lord and the association of his devotees. Just like in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's this one verse. This verse is spoken by Jadbharata, who is a great devotee. And Jadbharata is describing who are the pure devotees. Yatro tamashloka gunanuvada prastuyate gramya kata vighata nishevyamano nudinam mukshor matim satim yachchati vasudevi. Who are the pure devotees mentioned here? Who are the pure devotees mentioned here? In an assembly of pure devotees, there is no question of discussing material subjects. Like politics and sociology. In an assembly of pure devotees, there is discussion only of the qualities, forms, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is praised and worshipped with full attention. He is praised and worshipped with full attention. In the association of pure devotees, by constantly hearing such topics respectfully, even a person who wants to merge into the existence of the Absolute Truth, he abandons this idea and gradually becomes attached to the service of Vasudeva. So this is what pure devotees are, this is their discussion. There's no question of discussing topics like sociology and politics. The devotees are always discussing the topics of the spiritual world. And that gives the shelter, the relief of distress of the material world. Sociology and politics cannot give relief from distress in the material world.
Социология и политика не могут избавить от страданий материального мира.
Because it's all based on the bodily conception of life.
Потому что все это основано на телесной концепции жизни.
Only the topics which are directly related to the Lord can actually satisfy the heart.
Только те темы, которые непосредственно связаны с Верховным Господом, могут принести удовлетворение сердцу.
And in the previous verse, Jadbharata also explains one very important point.
А также в предыдущем стихе до этого
it's a very famous verse. Rahu ganai tat tapasa na yati na chechaya nirva panagrihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryaya vina mahatpada vajo bishekam. My dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the Absolute Truth. One cannot realize the Absolute Truth simply by observing celibacy, strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life, leaving home as a vanaprastha, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in the winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or by surrounding oneself in the summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun, there are many other processes to understand the Absolute Truth. But the Absolute Truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. There's no other way. This is the process.
процесс.
The same thing Prahlad Maharaj said to Hiranyakashipu. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, how did you become such a great devotee? Well, from where have you gotten all this talk about Vishnu? And Prahlad Maharaj said the same, some very similar words. He said, Mahir Sampadara Jo Pashekam. Naishamatis Tavarukam Anglis Prishat Yanata Pagamo Yarata. Mahir Sampadara Jo Pashekam Nishkinchanam Navrnita Yava. He says, unless one smears upon his body the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Who's free from material contamination? One cannot become freed from reactions of sinful life. Only by worshipping the Lord and rendering service to the Lord in this way can one can become free from the reactions of sinful activity. She was saying that only by the dust of the devotee have I been able to obtain this position. And how did Prahlad Maharaj get the dust of the devotee? That was mentioned in the verse that we were speaking from today. Narada Muni. Narada Muni, the great traveling, wandering preacher. Who is always distributing the particles of saffron dust from the lotus feet of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj got the dust of Narada Muni while at the ashram of Narada Muni. And he heard the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. He heard so many instructions that Narada Muni was giving to his mother. While Prahlad was still within the womb of his mother. Prahlad heard everything while he was in the womb. And therefore he became such a great devotee. So, Prahlad Maharaj became a devotee as a result of Narada Muni's association. Dhruva Maharaj also became a great devotee. An example was also given here of Magari the hunter, who also became a great devotee. Narada Muni is always traveling everywhere throughout the entire material and spiritual world. And therefore he's always vibrating the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as described in today's verse, the Prachetas were saying to the Lord, Dear Lord, your personal associates, devotees, they wander all over the world to purify even the holy places of pilgrimage. Is not such activity pleasing to those who are actually afraid of material existence? So, Prachetas were simply continuing their prayer. And then, which was describing how the benediction they wanted from the Lord is simply the opportunity to have the association with those devotees who are always glorifying Him. So that is a little bit of the meaning of this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions?
Кришна смотрит на Каништа Адхикари, на Хьяму Адхикари.
How does Krishna look at Каништа Адхикари? Krishna looks at even a person who's a Chandala. What to speak of a Каништа Адхикари?
Преданные смотрят даже на таких
If that chandala, if Krishna looks at even a chandala.
Krishna смотрит даже на чандалу.
What to speak of a Kanishtha Adhikara?
Что говорит о Kanishtha Adhikara?
If that chandala,
если этот чандала,
renders service to his pure devotee.
Служит его чистому преданному.
That's the only way we can get Krishna's attention.
Единственный способ, как мы можем привлечь внимание Кришны.
We can't get Krishna's attention by any other way. Because as Prahlad Maharaj describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said that Nalam Dvijatam Devadvam Visaram Vasaratmaja Prinaya Mukundasya Navritam Nabhavugyata. My dear friends, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if you become an expert Brahmin, or become advanced in etiquette or vast learning, or become a Rishi or a demigod, none of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord. Awaken the pleasure of the Lord. Not by austerities, nor by sacrifices, by accepting vows, or chastity, can one get the attention of the Lord? The Lord is pleased only when one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. And without sincere devotional service, everything else is simply a show. So in other words, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining that in order to get Krishna's attention, it's not some by some external show. There's only one thing that gets the attention of the Lord. As we explained before, there's only one way to conquer the Lord. Only by pure devotional service. There's no other way that one can conquer the Lord. No other way that one can get His attention. So if we actually want to get the attention of the Lord, and that's the point that we were just reading at this last verse, Bhagavatam, when Jad Bharata was saying, there's no other way except if one gets the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. If we actually want to get the Lord's attention so that He looks at us, then we can only do that by going to that place where the Lord is always giving His attention. Right? It's just natural. We can wave our hands. We can wave our arms and do anything we want to try to get the Lord's attention. But the Lord's not going to look unless there's devotion. And as long as there's any tinge of desire within the heart, material desire, one cannot capture the attention of the Lord. That's why Prahlad Maharaj says, if you don't have unflinching unalloyed devotion to the Lord, everything you do is simply a show. Why is it a show? Because the Lord's not looking. So it must be for somebody else's. Somebody else to see. The Lord only looks at one thing. Unalloyed devotion. That's all He looks at. One could chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige.
избегая чувства ложного престижа.
And ready to offer all respects to others.
Будучи готовым оказать почтение другим.
In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
В таком состоянии мать человек может постоянно раскрываться с этим.
Шрила Кришнадас Кавирадж Госвами explains this verse.
Шрила Кришнадас Кавирадж Госвами объясняет этот стих.
He gives the example, just like a tree, even if it's drying up, it never asks anybody for water. Or if somebody comes and breaks the branches of a tree, it never complains. That's the nature of a tree. So he says, in the same way, a devotee should develop the same attitude, just like that of a tree.
И поэтому он говорит, что точно так же преданный должен развивать то же самое настроение, какое отношение к этим вещам.
He becomes fully dependent upon the mercy of the Lord.
То есть преданный становится полностью зависим от милости Господа.
That's what it means to be in a humble state of mind.
Как раз это означает смиренное состояние ума.
To be in a humble state of mind means always dependent upon the Supreme Lord for everything.
Иметь смиренное состояние ума означает всегда во всем зависеть от Господа.
And the devotee who is always dependent on the Lord can be satisfied in any condition of life.
Преданный, который полностью зависит от Господа, может быть удовлетворен во всех обстоятельствах.
We read that verse today.
Мы сегодня читали.
Нараяна пракшаве на кустане дивити свага павага на кишва питуята даршана. The devotees of the Lord, because whether they are in heaven or in hell, or liberated, for them it's all the same. Because as long as they have the opportunity to serve Krishna, they're satisfied. So a devotee is self-satisfied. And therefore a tree, even if it's like a tree, if it's drying up, it doesn't even ask anybody for water. In the same way, a devotee is never asking anything for himself. What is he always asking for? If a devotee is asking for something, he's always asking on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Or he's asking for the benefit of the welfare of others, of the conditioned souls. He never asks anything for himself. Except the opportunity to serve the Lord and be in the association of devotees. So, one who is humble in this way, he can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. What does it mean to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly? It means he can go on glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as Lord Brahma describes also in his prayers in the 10th canto of the Bhagavata. Tatenu kampam sushamikshamano bhujani evatma kritam vibhakam hidvag vapapir vinanam namaste jiveti yomokupa desha dhyamba. The one who seeks your compassion, who seeks your compassion, and thus he tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past misdeeds, who always engages in your devotional service and always glorifies you, he certainly becomes a bona fide candidate for liberation. So a devotee who can tolerate everything, he can go on glorifying the Supreme Lord. Because he never blames the Lord for his suffering. Whatever difficulties he faces, he always sees it as the mercy of the Lord. And therefore he continues to glorify the Lord. He never blames the Lord. Why have you put me in this difficult situation? He sees it as the mercy of the Lord. And therefore, he continues to glorify the Lord in all circumstances. Therefore, one who's always thinking, he's one who's devoid of false prestige. If a person is too proud, then the result of this pride will become the cause of his downfall. Because a proud person can't see the mercy of the Lord. A proud person can only see external things. He can't recognize devotion. That's the difficulty with pride. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says that one has to think himself always very, very humble, lower than the straw in the street. And he has to be devoid of all sense of false prestige. And he's always ready to offer respect to everyone. Why is he ready to offer respect to everyone? Because he knows that Krishna is in everyone's heart. That's why. And because Krishna is in everyone's heart, every person is a temple. Every body is a temple of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, a devotee will never cause harm to anyone, but respects everyone. And because he knows Krishna is in their heart, he always speaks in such a way to try to help them to follow Krishna's dictation. He's always trying to turn their attention to Krishna. How can we preach to people if we don't respect them? It's not possible. This is Kanishna mentality. And according to Jiva Goswami, he gives his description of the Kanishna mentality in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purport, in his commentary to 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Says the symptom of the Kanishna Adhikari is that he's very sectarian. And therefore he cannot offer proper respect to other devotees. He can't see Krishna in the heart. He can only see Krishna in the temple. And because he can't see Krishna in the heart, he doesn't offer proper respect to devotees. And Jiva Goswami says, if he cannot offer respect to devotees, then what to speak of non-devotees? Therefore, practically speaking, for preaching purposes, he's useless. Because unless one can offer respect, how can he preach? Who will listen to him? Therefore, one actually has to get beyond the Kanishta platform to actually become a preacher, and to be an effective preacher. It means he has to be able to see that Krishna is in everyone's heart. And therefore he has to respect everyone. And what to speak of even the human, even all species of life. Not just the human being, and all species of life. Giving them respect means that we understand that Krishna is in their heart. So one who thinks in this way, he will not commit offense. And he will be able to go on chanting Hare Krishna constantly without interruption. But if one commits some offense, then what happens is he loses his taste. And he can't even chant Hare Krishna. That's the result of offenses. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, if you want to chant Hare Krishna constantly, you have to become devoid of all sense of false prestige. Think yourself to be lower than the straw in the street, and to be able to offer all respects to others. In that state of mind, you can continuously chant Hare Krishna. Okay, so I think we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.